NASA releases the first digitally restored moon landing video. Richard Branson will get his first ride on Eve at Oshkosh. And the U.S. Navy has found control system cracks in F-A-18s. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, July 20th, 2009. Today marks the 20th anniversary of Neil Armstrong's first steps on the surface of the moon. NASA is commemorating the event with a release of newly restored video of the live television broadcast. The initial video release is part of a larger, ongoing Apollo 11 moonwalk restoration project. It features 15 key moments from the historic lunar excursion of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. Lowry Digital of Burbank, California, which specializes in restoring aging Hollywood films and video, got the NASA contract to work from videotapes provided by NASA and CBS, and kinescopes found stored in a vault for 36 years, and to use the company's proprietary software technology and other restoration techniques to produce clean digital video. The black and white images of Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin bounding around the moon were provided by a single small monochrome video camera aboard the lunar module. NASA used a scan converter to adapt the images to NTSC video for broadcast, but by the time the images got to your TV, they were substantially degraded. Richard Navsker, an engineer at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, oversaw television processing at the ground tracking sites during Apollo 11. He says the restoration is ongoing and may produce even better video. Quote, "The restoration project is scheduled to be completed in September and will provide the public, future historians, and the National Archives with the highest quality video of this historic event," unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board has released some details on and two photos of that section of the Southwest Boeing 737 fuselage that failed a week ago today, causing a loss of cabin pressure. The plane was 30 minutes into a flight from Nashville to Baltimore when passengers said they heard a loud pop and oxygen masks were released. The pilot made an emergency landing at Yeager Airport in Charleston, West Virginia. NTSB says the section that failed is about 8 by 17 inches, comprised of aluminum about 0.032 inches thick, with another layer of equal thickness bonded to the skin in selected areas. Acting Board Chairman Mark Rossanker says a visual inspection reveals no significant corrosion or obvious pre-existing mechanical damage. A detailed metallurgical examination will be conducted. The incident prompted a fleet-wide inspection by Southwest, which flies only Boeing 737s of varying vintages. The incident plane is being repaired at Yeager Airport. If you've heard that Virgin Galactic's mothership Eve is coming to Oshkosh, maybe you've dreamed about the day you might catch a ride. Well, if you're Sir Richard Branson, it's no dream, and next Tuesday is the day. Branson, who heads Virgin Galactic, will reportedly get his first flight during her venture. The Monday arrival will be the ship's first appearance before the general public. Branson's flight is scheduled for Tuesday, the 28th, and demo flights will be conducted throughout the week. Formerly known as White Knight 2, Eve has a 140-foot wing which uses a one-piece carbon fiber spar. Even the control cables are made from carbon fiber. The ship is powered by four Pratt & Whitney Canada PW308 turbofans and designed to lift up to 37,000 pounds to 50,000 feet, opening the possibility of participating in launches for a variety of private and government missions. The ship, like the Spaceship Two craft it will carry to high-altitude launches, was designed and built by Burt Rutan's Scaled Composites in Mojave, California. The Pentagon says cracks have been discovered in the control systems of two F-A-18 Hornets involved in the U.S. Navy's Service Life Extension Program. The discovery prompted a quick inspection of 622 aircraft last week. Stars and Stripes reports that Navy officials say the cracks were found on horizontal stabilizer actuator support fittings and could affect control of the aircraft if they failed. Both planes with cracks were found to be missing a fastener, which may have resulted in increased stress on the support fittings. A third plane was found with a missing fastener too, but no cracking on that one. The affected planes were not grounded, but were ordered to undergo maintenance within 25 flight hours. Up next on ANN, an AirTran pilot is hauled off in handcuffs. Boeing gets a welcome order for more 737s. And Boeing and Spirit AeroSystems face an age discrimination lawsuit. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal Tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies and high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 20th. I'm Paul Platt. Police removed the pilot of an AirTran 717 in handcuffs at Newport News Williamsburg Airport in Virginia last Wednesday. He was allegedly involved in some kind of dispute with TSA personnel at a security checkpoint. United Press International reports that the captain was not named by AirTran, but jail records show a pilot identified as Michael Wayne Carnath was arrested and charged with assault and battery. TSA spokeswoman Lauren Gatches says the agency, quote, is aware of an incident that occurred at a checkpoint with an AirTran employee and will work closely with local law enforcement during their investigation, unquote. AirTran says another captain was brought in to make the flight to Boston. Good news continues to trickle in for Boeing. Panama's Copa Airlines says it will buy 13 737-800s, worth about $1 billion at list price, increasing to 27 the total it has on order from Boeing. The latest orders will be scheduled for delivery between 2015 and 17, and the company also has 8 options. All the new planes will have the Dreamliner-inspired sky interior, featuring modern sculpted sidewalls and window reveals that provide passengers with a greater connection to the flying experience. Copa CEO Pedro Heilbron says his 737s have been a major factor in Copa's success. Quote, this order reaffirms our confidence in our business model and the growth potential of Latin American aviation, unquote. Workers at Boeing's former facilities in Kansas and Oklahoma have sued the company, claiming age discrimination and job losses when Boeing sold the operations. They've also named Spirit AeroSystems, which was created after its parent company, Onex, bought the commercial airplane operations from Boeing. The Associated Press reports that documents filed last week cite a deposition in which former Boeing manager and Spirit CEO Jeff Turner commented, quote, an aging workforce in and of itself is difficult, problematic for the business, for sustaining the business long term, unquote. Boeing and Spirit deny any individual personnel decisions were made based on age. The suit claims that Spirit used a formula to determine who would be let go and who would be rehired when Onex bought the company, and that workers between 45 and 54 years of age were considered too expensive. Still ahead, Canada certifies the Avgas version of the Diamond DA-42. Google Lunar XPRIZE teams could be in for big bucks over the next decade. And remembering the man who brought the Apollo 11 mission into our living rooms. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, July 20th. I'm Paul Plack. Diamond Aircraft says it's received Canadian certification for the DA-42-L360. That's the same airframe used for the popular DA-42 turbo diesel twin, but powered instead by two Lycoming IO-360 Avgas engines. The plane was created in part to offer an option to customers of diesel twins stranded by the insolvency of T-Alert aircraft engines, and the company says care has been taken in the design to allow retrofits of Diamond's own Austro A300 diesel in the future. Both versions of the plane will be on display starting this weekend at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh. Much has been made of the $30 million being offered in the Google Lunar XPRIZE competition, but a study by Futron Corporation suggests the competing teams may have much more than that to gain by participating. The Maryland-based aerospace consulting firm predicts that competitors and other companies pursuing space in the private sector will be able to address a market of at least $1 billion over the course of the next decade. The areas of greatest potential are said to be sales of hardware and services to the worldwide government sector, products provided to the commercial sector, entertainment, sponsorship, and technology sales and licensing. Jeff Faust, a senior analyst with Futron, observes, quote, "If one or more teams are able to win this prize competition, they will be able to serve markets potentially far larger than the prize purse," unquote. And you thought Paul Allen was nuts to spend $20 million to win the $10 million Ansari X Prize. And finally today, even as its crews work to finish the Japanese Kibo Laboratory on the International Space Station, NASA officials old enough to remember paused over the weekend to reflect on the life and career of Walter Cronkite, who died Friday at the age of 92. For children born into an era when spaceflight has become so routine that NASA requires its own cable channel to get live mission coverage into American homes, it must seem odd that all the Apollo missions were covered extensively on CBS. Walter Cronkite was such an enthusiast, he's reported to have anchored 27 of the 30 continuous hours of live coverage of the Apollo 11 moon landing, which he said will be remembered as humanity's greatest achievement. Former astronaut and new NASA Administrator Charles Bolden recalled, quote, "It was Walter Cronkite's impassioned reporting on America's inaugural moon landing that inspired me to join in the dreams of many to travel to space and accept the risks that this exploration brings while I was a student in naval flight training. For decades, we had the privilege of learning about our world from the original anchorman. He was a true gentleman. Our thoughts and prayers are with Walter's family and his millions of friends and supporters," unquote. Even Neil Armstrong, the publicity-shy first man on the moon, offered a brief public statement. Quote, "For a news analyst and reporter of the happenings of the day to be successful, he or she needs three things: accuracy, timeliness, and the trust of the audience. Many are fortunate to have the first two. The trust of the audience must be earned." Walter Cronkite seemed to enjoy the highest of ratings. He had a passion for human space exploration, an enthusiasm that was contagious, and the trust of his audience. He will be missed, unquote. It's slightly ironic that the two news events for which Cronkite is best remembered are his anchoring of the coverage of the 1963 assassination of President John F. Kennedy and the climax of the Apollo program, a goal President Kennedy famously set out for America during the Cold War. With the stranglehold of broadcast TV and other old media now broken, and the audience fragmented into thousands of on-demand channels by cable and the internet, humanity may never again experience a historical event together in real time the way we did Apollo 11. With all due respect to the advance of technology, Twitter just isn't the same. I'm hoping my grandkids get the opportunity to experience the equivalent of standing in front of a department store window watching the TV together, or being released with their entire class to head to the school auditorium to watch, together as a group, when we land on Mars. And I hope somebody with integrity is there to anchor that coverage. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves recalls a flight review gone wrong and offers a quick bit of advice to anybody flying into Oshkosh this week. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. And that's the way it is, Monday, July 20th, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.